Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove Cast. This is Mark, looking for the pause button. I am on today, it's still this afternoon, with Leah Mitchell and Kim Layer. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on here and talk about today's episode. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Leah, are you there?
Gotcha. Yeah, I got you now.
Okay. I think we had a glitchy glitch there. So thank you so much for doing this last minute type of thing. We're all kind of stuck at home, and I'm not even going to go into any of that, but I'm looking forward to kind of creating a little bit of extra content for people to listen to, and maybe even a little bit of live stuff, which I think could be a disaster and fun at the same time.
Cool. Well, everybody loves a train wreck, so.
Yeah, welcome to the train wreck, you know.
No, it wouldn't be. That'd be fun. Doing a live one would be pretty fun. It'd be interesting. But
yeah, I would really like to do that. And so I'm looking into it. I'm trying to figure it out and see what I can do. I do want to mention that a lot of people responded to my post about assembling a list of episodes to do. So they're really, it's up in the air. So if you guys have any ideas outside of this particular episode, but I do want to just mention some of the people who posted that I think had some really good ideas, and I'm going to butcher people's names. So just if I say your name wrong, whatever. My last name is unpronounceable, so get over it. So we have, Edgar Garcia is just saying to do the finale, which could be a lot of fun, I think, right? He wrote it in Spanish, so I'm thinking that's what he said.
Definitely.
Whitney Cole came in with a whole list of stuff. She's saying Return of Nelly, Country Girls, which I think we might have done, The In-Laws, Days of Sunshine, Doctor's Lady, and there's all of these, you know, are great ideas. Whitney Cole was saying also Faith Healer, Jeannie Mitchell, which I don't think there's any relation to you, Leah.
Yeah.
Saying Home Again. Chris Peterson saying The Odyssey. Lynn Gillette of the Gillette Fortune. I don't think she owns the razor company. Is If I Wake Before I Die. Courtney Pitier. Could be French. That'd be fancy. I think Harriet would like that. A Matter of Faith. And Anne Quinn came in with a solid idea of Quarantine, which I don't think we're going to be doing at this time. And thanks a lot for the idea. I'm sorry if I'm going down these. I like the fact that people put thought into this, so I'm just going to keep going.
Absolutely.
Rebecca Harris, The Handyman, which of course, you know, come on, Gil Gerard, you know, who doesn't want to see Buck Rogers building a kitchen? You guys probably never watched Buck Rogers, right?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. All right. Diane Parker, she didn't know the name of the title, but it's the last movie where they blow everything up. exactly. It's like, I think Diane's onto something. Corinne Barkane is saying The Craftsman, which I think is it's a really solid episode in Dance With Me. Let's see what else we have. Well, next week I'm going to be releasing The Legend of Black Jake. And Leah, I think your son's name is Jake, right?
I do have a Jake, yes.
Mm. And Kim, you have a Jack. So that's weird. I don't know.
As a husband, not a son.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. We have When They Move to Winoka, As Long As We're Together, from Rebecca Harris again. Tina Reese, Saint of the Collection. Stephanie Bailey, Founders Day. So I think, I think it's like one of these like bell things because actually, Kim, this you brought to the table. Do you want to talk about today's episode? I'll shut up now.
Yes. This is Founders Day, which is the season finale of season one. Yeah. And this is personally probably my second favorite episode. Like if everything in the world's going wrong, I'll just put on Founders Day. Up next is Richest Man in Walnut Grove, which is my first favorite episode. So this is like my comfort blanket of Little House.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, it's great. It was actually originally aired on May 7th, 1975.
May 7th. Now, you have a little bit of information about Founders Day in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. Minnesota, right?
Yes, when we first talked about doing this episode, I realized that today, the day we're recording and the day that this episode's going to come out, is actually one day after the actual Founders Day of Walnut Grove, Minnesota.
Can I make a declaration, if I may? Can we call it Founders Week from now on? Because that's what I'm going to call this. This is Walnut Grove's Founders Week.
That works for me. I mean, it is a celebration.
Yeah. It was, you know, I love this episode. It was not in heavy rotation when I was a kid. Lee, do you remember watching this episode a lot?
I remember like the competition at the end, but I don't remember the storyline of Charles and the logger guy.
Mm-hmm. I do. I remember this being one of the few episodes where the Ingalls show kind of a different side to themselves, I think. We don't normally see this side of them.
Yeah, very competitive. And actually, besides Carrie, each one of the Ingalls had like a shining rude moment to me in this episode.
You have to point them all out because I even Carrie? No.
No, just Carrie was the only one who was perfect in my eyes.
All right. So, you know what? I say what we do is we jump right into it and we get an intro to the episode and kind of see where we are. And. Oops.
Founders Day.
Founders Day! That's right.
Hey, morning, all.
Hi. I'm going to be in the rope skipping contest.
And I'm going to be in the hoop running contest.
You're both going to go hungry if you don't have your breakfast.
Yeah.
Carrie's not part of anything. Wouldn't they have something for Carrie for the little ones, right?
I don't know. She's like, what, 2.5 in these?
No, she's going to be a little bit older, right?
I think. I don't know. I don't know kids' ages.
I don't know kids.
Yeah, I think she's about 3 or 4 in here. Okay. This episode.
I would think that they would have had something. I don't know. Slaughtering a pig? Yeah. I don't know. Who knows what these Minnesotans do?
Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. Right away.
I haven't packed your lunch yet. You can have another cup of coffee.
Oh, good. I'll be working with an Amanda then.
Where's Mr. Edwards?
He's on his way to Minneapolis, picking up some machinery for Mr. Hanson.
Pa? Laura and I are both going to be in the 3-legged race on Founders Day.
Founders Day. It's all I care about, like.
Now, Charles. The Founders Day celebration is going to mean a lot to a lot of people.
Oh, you bet. I mean, extra business for the Olsons and Mr. Hanson. Not to mention any huckster that feels like setting up shop.
For Walnut Grove. And that means a little prosperity for everybody. And it's more than that. It's a community effort. It's something we can all participate in and enjoy.
That's the women's league talking.
It certainly is. We are all 100% behind it.
Well, that's very good because so am I.
Good.
We're all going to be in contests, Pa. Which ones are you going to be in?
Well, I gave it a great deal of thought, and I decided to be in a spectator contest. I'm just going to watch.
Aw, Pa, that won't be any fun.
Well, I can learn to skip rope, and I can't roll a hoop worth a hoop. See you tonight. Be good.
Spoil sport.
Now, that was my first rude moment. It was actually Mary when he says, oh, that's just the women's league talking. She rolls her eyes.
Does she?
Oh. Yeah, right in Charles's face. I was like, that's a little rude, but, you know, that's her biggest transgression this episode.
Now, this episode was the last episode of season one.
Yes.
Which is kind of a weird episode. I'm going to guess that season two had already been approved. I'm not really sure about the popularity in the given time of Little House on the Prairie. Mm-hmm. But Do you guys know anything about that? Do you know, like, was it a guarantee that all of a sudden it was going to be, you know, renewed, that season two would exist?
The only thing I know about it, sorry, Leah, is that I believe in season one, it was like fourth in the charts. That was the highest that Little House ever got to. Mm. And when it switched to season two, they actually switched the night and it drastically dropped in viewership from there.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we're at like the height of Little House right now.
Now, Leah was talking about a little bit yesterday. She had mentioned that she was doing research on this. I don't know if you came up with anything, but between episode 23 or 24, which is what we're on, mm-hmm. several months had gone by.
It was weird. Yeah, so this is episode 24. So episode 23 aired March 5th.
Oh.
And this one was 9 weeks later, May 5th.
Oh my gosh, how weird.
It was weird. And so I looked to see the consistency, and in the whole season, every single episode aired on Wednesday, never skipped a beat until this one. So I did some digging and I looked through some old TV guide websites.
Which is, you were saying, went down a rabbit hole.
Turned to a huge rabbit hole. Like, it became ridiculous. I mean, yeah. But anyway, so I saw that between those 8 weeks, they re-aired all the Little House episodes and then had this one come in last. So what I was thinking is they did get renewal and they were trying to amp everybody up if they had missed these episodes. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if they did reruns in the summertime or not. I'm just not sure
In 1975, I have to wonder if reruns for a show that is, well, I don't even know when reruns really became popular.
I actually do know that one.
Okay.
Reruns first started when Lucy from I Love Lucy was giving birth to her first child or her child, and Desi knew there was a schedule. Yeah, exactly. And he knew there was a schedule. And so he was like, well, why don't we just repeat the same episodes? People will love it. They like this. So why not show it again? So that's actually like the history of reruns, as it started with I Love Lucy, which we're talking like 52, 53.
Oh, okay. Which makes, I mean, it always made sense to me. Reruns are one of those things that I can't believe that they didn't. Well, maybe they did. They started in the beginning of all of it because, you know, no VCRs. You know, you're not always there. And if you're only going to air it once for the entire week, like, just air it again.
Totally. Keep cashing those checks.
Yeah, seriously, though. So I think that's really interesting. I think you're right. I think that they got renewed and they thought, okay, well, let's, you know, really blast them with some of our favorite episodes and drum up a little bit of excitement for season two with a new episode.
Right, yeah, because they didn't go in order. But yeah, I think you're right. It was like the bigger episodes of the season that they aired before this last one on May 7th.
Yeah. So back to this particular episode, we learn of the Tylers. Did we ever see the Tylers before on the show?
No.
Jim and Helen, we're not really sure if they have kids. We're just not sure. But and they seem like they're kind of new to town, but not, like, everybody seems to know him, but maybe he's somebody who moved away and came back. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but maybe he was working at a logging camp outside of town or something, but we definitely never saw him before and never saw him again.
Yeah. So, which usually means he'll die, but I don't want to do a spoiler right now. So, so here we are. We have the meeting of the best choppers in town.
Charles, Jim Tyler, Charles Ingalls.
I've been looking forward to meeting you, Mr. Tyler.
Oh, just call me Jim. No need for that. Mister, I'm pretty easy fellow to get along with.
Just call me Charles.
I'll do that, son, if I think about it.
Now, this was a weird comment to me. When I first watched this again, I thought that they were going to be foreshadowing some form of senility.
Hmm.
Because he's saying, well, if I think about it, you know, it's not. And Charles makes a face kind of like, oh, because you're so old. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I thought that was maybe foreshadowing. It is not, at least. But we see right away something between these two bulky, strong men who will sweat a lot in this episode.
And for lack of better term, this is just the beginning of an episode-long, like, pissing contest between these two guys to see who's bigger and who's manlier.
Rarely have we seen Charles act like this. We really just don't normally see him act like this.
Yeah, this guy really gets under his skin.
He really does. He's a bit of a know-it-all, so I'll play some of that, where they're going to be working together to do some sawing.
We got the team all hitched up while we was waiting for you. I guess we might as well get started. Oh, we'll give you a good day's work, Mr. Hansen. Don't you worry about a thing, huh? You do handle a team, son.
Yeah, I think I can manage it.
Like, that was the immediate face of, like, yeah, I think I can handle it. Have you heard about the story about when I first moved here? Yeah. I had broken ribs, buddy, and I was carrying up 80-pound bags of seed. Stacking them.
Yes, sir. I was bowling the woods for 30 years. Supervisor of all the work. Because there's not much about logging, I don't know. You keep an eye on me, boy. You learn a thing or two. I don't guess there's a farmer in 1,000 knows how to use a cross-cut saw. So you never push on it. Got to pull it. Can't lean on it or bend it or twist it.
Now, do you guys know this guy? Like, do you have these people in your life or in the past met this guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
What about you, Leah?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yes. I mean, I have an example of that. So I work in a warehouse and I work nights. When I worked during the day, I was the only female on the team. I was the oldest one on the team. Mm-hmm. And so I was Charles. I had to prove myself every day that I could be just as good or even better than these 20-year-olds and when I was 40s. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know this guy well.
Yeah. And, you know, with what I do, you know, with design and everything, and I worked in newspapers and these type of things, and we had the old school guys who were like, and I certainly respect physical crafts of things, like for, but some of these guys have been doing it for 40 years, and the last thing they wanted to hear about is the newest program from Adobe and how it simplifies all of the work that they do by hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some things are just the way of the world. I love the fact that there's some people, though, that act like this, but they can realize it about themselves and they can back it up a little bit and they can actually teach people. Because I feel as though the older way of doing things is still, in a lot of ways, the better way of doing things. And maybe that's why I get along with the older people, now that I am one of them. But the younger people I meet who are getting into into design and everything and taking a hell of too many shortcuts, you know, I feel like the old guy who's like, you have to learn the right way of doing things. I have met a few people who do in turn love doing it the right way. Like people who have started their own typesetting businesses and who do it by hand, you know, like letterpress and stuff like that.
Wow.
But that's not necessarily what this is about. This is, you know, just who's stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really it, right? Now, when they first packed the saw at Hansen's Lumber, there was no rust on it. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
No, I didn't.
And when you're sawing, this thing is like the oldest piece of junk saw I've ever seen in my life. So they probably had two guys, like, saw it for them for the most part.
Yeah.
And then, like, let's get some action shots.
There's definitely a scene later on where there are axes a-flying, and you very rarely see the actors' faces when you see the axes, and I figured that was probably a stand-in.
Oh, I think it's 90% stand-in.
Don't ruin this for me, okay? I need, like, sweaty Michael Landon hacking at a log.
Oh, they just have a spray bottle.
You know what? I'm going to leave this podcast.
I will not be defeated by a spray bottle.
Yes.
So, Kim, were you sad that there's not a single scene with his shirt off? This is like the prime episode. Well, there is.
Yeah, there is.
When he's sawing and hacking?
No, after. After sawing.
I didn't get an action Michael Landon.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Glistening. You got it.
Was I disappointed? Yes. And I will leave a bad review on this episode on IMDb for that. we got Karen Grassley rubbing him down and stuff. Hey, we even got Mr. Tyler with his shirt off. There was plenty of skin in this episode.
And when we get to it, I want to ask questions about the liniment and what that was all about. So here we go. Here's the first indication that he's really starting to piss off Charles.
You all right?
Well, why'd you ask that?
Well, you ain't hardly said anything since we started out.
I'm just quiet, I guess. You're strong as an ox, right?
Well, I reckon.
Like to work hard?
Hard's the only way I know to work.
Good, you got all day to prove it.
Oh, snap. I mean, and then for the next, 40 minutes or so, this is what you hear. That's it.
And they're just staring each other down.
Yeah, it's 1 minute and 7 seconds of them.
It felt like 40 minutes.
It did. I know, I had to rewind it. I got to time this.
And even the chopping and everything, it's very ASMR. If that's what relaxes you. Who knows?
No.
they're really in this, machoism type of competitive thing. So they come up with a wagon load of wood that they sawed, and they did a good amount, I think.
And that was one of 5 wagon loads that they had.
Oh, really? Is that the? Yeah. I missed that.
They said we'll come back tomorrow for the other 4.
I mean, you guys, you know how heavy those logs are, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean. When you have one that's only, maybe 2 feet long, I mean, it must weigh, 70 pounds, 80 pounds. I mean, these are, 8 feet sections. And some of them have the diameter of, maybe 18 inches. It's just really crazy. So I'm very glad I don't live in this time where I have to do stuff with such labor. Yesterday, I went to the store and I bought firewood. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking they would be just laughing at me. I mean, it's just you're buying wood wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
It says right on it, bug free and kiln dried.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of embarrassing. No, no doubt. I mean,
but we don't have access, you know. When I was a kid, we used to get deliveries of, we used to get a cord of wood delivered. Mm. And because, you know, Long Island does, I mean, contrary to popular belief, we don't have that many trees. And I chopped down a cherry tree 2 years ago. And I kept the wood because I wanted to leave it, dry it, and either work with it or smoke it, you know, not smoke, you know, use it to smoke meats. But yeah, wood is not, it's not something that's so prevalent. I know, Kim, that you have a ton of trees on your property, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I take back what I said about it being embarrassing.
Thank you. We have a bunch.
But I'm out there with a chainsaw cutting them into little bits, and then from there I'll axe them.
We need a video of you with a chainsaw cutting down a tree. Seriously, right, Leah? We need that. Yeah.
You will have it by the end of the day. As soon as Jack gets home, I'll have him record.
With a cigar or something. And your dog, your dog just kind of running around in circles and chasing something.
Well, who do you think works the other side of the saw with me? Yeah.
There you go. And what about you, Kim? I'm sorry. I'm going to do this a lot. I call my son sometimes Yoki, which is my dog. So I will combine things. In Colorado, what is the deal with this? Is fireplaces are prevalent there? Are there a lot of trees in Colorado?
Yeah. So what we do, the house we have now does not have a fireplace, which is sad. But
I don't have one either.
Every year, there's a lot of places we can go to, but we don't live too far from the mountains. We live foothills. Mm-hmm. And drive up and you pay a fee, and all the logs are already, or all the trees are already down, and they're those huge logs. Like you were right, they're 50-60 pounds. Mm-hmm. You would grab them and throw them in the truck, and then David would come back home and saw them and chop them up. But We already, it's already laid out for us. You just have to pay for a fee, and you can load up the truck as full as you can get it.
Load them up.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I just want to mention, I bought wood because we have a fire pit. It's not like I'm buying wood as a collection. because I said, I don't have a fireplace either. It's like, what the hell are you doing with it? I just like to buy wood, you know. I grew up with fireplaces in my house. Like, it was a very, very old house. And every floor had had some fireplace or another. But now we have nothing. We just have, it's by the, the stupid nest. And it's a very weird thing. If we ever buy another house, I'd like to have a fireplace, although it's a lot of work. I think
it's quaint.
Yeah, that's it. It's quaint, but but nonetheless, you can always throw a log in. All right, so here's a little bit of talking about what's to come with Founders Day.
Yeah, it went fine. We got enough cut, 4 or 5 loads, we'll haul them in tomorrow.
I call it fair day's work. Could have got a lot more done if I'd had somebody besides a farmer on the other end of that saw.
Your friend talks a lot better than he cuts.
No, he was saying that in real jest. I really think it was really being kind of just ribbing him a little bit, but Charles is taking it seriously.
But it's been a whole day of this, just ribbing, and it gets old.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
No one has spoke to Charles like this before. He's not used to this.
True. Also, Mr. Tyler's a pretty huge guy. He must be like 6'3 or something.
Yeah, he's 6'5.
Oh, okay.
The actor's name is Forrest Tucker, and something interesting that I found, I'm a huge Music Man fan. I'm obsessed with 1800s Americana, which is probably why I like this episode so much.
Yeah.
But he actually played Music Man on stage more than even Robert Preston, who was him in the movie. And he's like Mr. Music Man, Robert Preston. I believe he did like 1700 performances, and on Broadway, Forrest Tucker did like 2100.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's crazy. But I could see him being Professor Harold Hill, like just in my mind. So, and another thing they talk about is how Michael Landon is like half this guy's age, but Michael Landon in this is 39 and Forrest Tucker is only 56.
He's lived a hard life, maybe.
Yeah, it's a rough 56. It's an 1800s 56.
Yeah, I mean, that means this guy's, currently 9 years older than me. Whoa. But you know what, I have friends of mine who I went to high school with, and I'm like, you look pretty old, dude. Holy cow. But you know what, when I get there, I'll see if I'm as grumpy and falling apart like this guy. But that's kind of crazy that if we went by the actual ages, how kind of close in age that they actually would have been. But yeah, he is a pretty big guy. So, all right, here's the rest of that scene.
Well, now, it's not your fault you're a farmer.
I'm proud to be a farmer. Because for running a crosscut, I'm as good as you ever were. Probably better.
That's pretty strong talk coming from a farmer, boy.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, now, with two men on one saw, it isn't easy to tell who is best. How is it that the loggers prove who is champion logger?
With an axe, chopping, you know that.
Exactly. And that's why Hansen's Mill is donating a watch and a blue ribbon to the winner of the chopping contest on Founders Day. Prizes for the champion logger of Hero Township.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be there too.
So I wish they went into more detail about this watch. was it ordered from the Sears Roebuck catalog?
I know. Well, I watch with subtitles on, as you and I have discussed before. And there's one scene at the end where the winner, whoever that is, gets the watch. And the actor who plays Mr. Hansen said, oh, they don't work that well.
That's hilarious.
He's like trying to pin it on him, and he's like, yeah, whatever, they don't really work that well. I was like, what?
And it is kind of interesting. I mean, I'm sure you've seen this in the Sears Roebuck catalog, the different watches. So I find it so interesting how you can get a solid gold watch in here. Then there's gold filled, which I think is a weird, weird, weird thing. I think it's something that still exists. But these watches would essentially be probably about $7, $8 for the regular, just normal watches. But, you know, they certainly go up in price when it's a solid gold watch. Here, a solid gold 14-carat thin model goes for $43.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, Mr. Hansen's probably, like, scouting for new talent at the mill.
That's
he's
true.
Like, who can axe the hardest?
Well, he knows this guy. This guy, you know, he's he put Hansen's on the map, I'm willing to bet.
Oh, you think he worked for Hansen?
I don't. What else would he do, really? Right?
I don't know. Mr. Edwards was like in a logging camp somewhere one episode, like way away from Walnut Grove.
That's true. Yeah, he might work for one of the bigger lumber yards.
Oh yeah, that's right. He works for Swenson Motor or Swenson whatever company. I remember him saying that at some point. He worked there for 38 years.
Oh my god.
As Bull of the Woods, which is like the head guy in a logging camp.
And I'm going to guess that was a pretty hard life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So here we go. They're heading home and they're still ribbing each other a little bit.
Well, you look tired, Ingles.
Not me. Can't wait to get home and play with my youngins.
You know, as Bull of the Woods, I had to learn how to tell the truth about the men I worked with. Of course, that's the reason I had to say that you're sure no logger.
That's right. It's the truth. I'm a farmer.
Yeah, with a plow and harrow, I expect you're pretty good. Those are the tools of a farmer. But a crosscut, you see, that's a tool of a logger. You've sure got a lot to learn about that.
Yeah, we'll see what I have to learn about an axe.
What'd you say?
See what I have to learn about an axe. Day after tomorrow's Founder's Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Well, I turn off here.
All right, then. So, they're just, you know, ribbing each other until the very end. They both show immediately that they're exhausted. You know, it's just, you have Laura in the window, by the way, kind of like already complaining. It's like, where the hell's Pa? You know, it's like, so here we go. We're in Charles' house.
I wish Pa'd hurry up and get here. I want to practice.
He'll be along soon. You know, he was working with a new man today. He probably didn't want to push him too hard.
Is Pa the strongest man in the world?
No, he's very lazy, actually.
That's one of my rude Ma moments.
Where she just laughs?
Yeah, she laughs right in his face, and she's like, no. And in a minute, she's like, oh, that's the strongest man in the world? Well, he's asleep now. It's like, all right, rude.
You should have seen my bow. You know, so let's play that again.
Today, he probably didn't want to push him too hard.
Is Pa the strongest man in the world?
No, dear. But he is strong. I sometimes wonder where he gets his energy.
Hi, Pa.
Sorry I'm late.
Well, that's okay. We still have enough time to play.
You have to help us with the three-legged race.
Not today, huh?
But, Pa, we only have one more day to practice.
Laura, you heard what your father said. Charles, are you all right?
Just a little tired, that's all.
Your supper's ready.
No. I had a big lunch. I think I'm just going to lie down for a minute.
It's like, is Pa very lazy? He's just doing nothing.
Girls, help me serve. How was the new man?
We see Pa sleeping.
Strongest man in the world is asleep.
I mean, no. I'm wondering how much they would have paid. I wish they went into how much per, you know, wagon they would have paid for all of those logs.
Oh.
Kind of interesting. Also, if he worked for Swenson's, I forget what you called it. I wonder why he was in Walnut Grove.
You did say they were kind of new to town, so.
But I wonder, did they move there and he's just doing this for some side money?
Probably. I mean, the whole thing with him and his wife is like, well, you're not quite the strapping young man you used to be, so why don't we just kind of, like, enjoy being old people?
Yeah, what does he refer to himself as? I forget.
The Bull of the Woods?
Yeah, the Bull.
The Bull of the Woods. Yeah.
But that's, like, an official title for the head guy on a logging camp.
Oh, is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and apparently it's also like the most virile bull. And so I guess that's why they call the man in charge of all these super manly men bull of the woods.
Oh, so that makes sense. Here's Carolyn and Charles in bed. No popcorn. There's no...
Shirtless.
Yeah, we do have a shirtless Charles.
Rub down.
And if you just listen to this, it may sound slightly inappropriate. So.
You know, it's right up here around my shoulders. I'm really sore.
Oh, yeah. That Tyler has got to be...
The biggest windbag in the world. He told me. 3 times.
Well, he can talk the arm of a statue. And he modestly admits he knows everything there is to know about logging. I worked him right in the ground, you know what he said?
Yes. He said it wasn't your fault you were a farmer.
Yeah. Well, I'll show him come Founder's Day.
So, yeah, I mean, so she's rubbing some type of liniment into mm-hmm. his skin. What is in this stuff? Is it like eucalyptus oil or alcohol?
I don't know. The first icy hot.
yeah.
The first icy. Well, I think, yeah, like when was Vicks created, I wonder?
Oh, that seems old timey.
Yeah, like, yeah, Vicks feels like 1920s.
Well, I know another episode that the one that you and I have most recently reviewed, the guy was ordering Beagle oil at the Mercantile, and I looked it up, and that's like a sore muscle liniment rub-on kind of thing.
Huh, okay. I just looked up, first sold in 1905, VapoRub was originally manufactured by Richardson Vicks. Rub it in for deep chest colds. It's a menthol-based treatment for arthritis, gout, and something else. Neurologus. Hmm. Something. Something. I'll just skip it because I am not going to read it. So, but I always heard about liniments. And actually in the catalog, the 1895 catalogs, they do have different liniments, but they don't go into any ingredients in these catalogs, which it always kind of kills me. Did you follow any of that? I mean, did you see, like, they do have a lot of snake oil type of things that you could have ordered, but there's really no, there's not much information about what it is.
Something that it could possibly be, I know my mother-in-law is, like, one of these people who's, like, cuckoo for, like, essential oils, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know that peppermint oil, essential oil, is, like, basically Bengay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Bengay. I forgot about Bengay.
Yeah, so maybe it's peppermint oil. I don't know. It seems like something they'd have back then.
I just think eucalyptus would be something that would be in it. Not really sure. I don't know if eucalyptus was even in North America in that period of time.
I don't know.
So, Bengay, I'm just going to do a quick little search on Bengay. Bengay is... It's changed the way it's spelled, believe it or not, before 1995. It was once one word, now it has a hyphen between the Ben and the Gay. So, 1898, Bengay was first developed by the Third French Republic by Jules Benoit and brought to America in 1898. So we're getting closer. We're getting closer to what this could have been. And I'm going to guess that there was something that was being made in the kitchens of all families in America that they bottled and sold for convenience.
Right. So I'm looking it up right now in Wikipedia. I looked under hot liniment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so they have it's called Mrs. Stewart's. There's a Mrs. Stewart's and a Sloan liniment.
That sounds legitimate.
They got the old timey pictures and everything. It's kind of cool.
Cool.
So let's see. It's sold to relieve pain and stiffness. Oh, these are typically formulated from alcohol, acetone. That can't be right.
Could have been because acetone will create heat on the skin.
Okay, acetone or similar quickly evaporating solvents that contain an
cancer-causing
aromatic, probably so. Aromatic chemical compounds such as. Oh my gosh, I can't pronounce any of these words, but menthol is in there. Menthol's in there. I don't even know. Yeah.
I'm sure it smelled like complete crap, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And, but across town, right across the creek, we have the Tylers going. Is it Taylor or Tyler?
Tyler.
Tyler. Right? Okay, so it's Tyler. I think they actually say Taylor once, and it threw me off. Or just the accent. You know, it was probably probably Hansen who said it and screwed me up. So, all right, here we go.
It's my guys. I got no such thing as hot liniment.
Not for such an old fool as you. Ice is what you deserve, and ice is what you get.
Now, this is the Ingalls in about 30 years, right?
Yeah. I love them so much, this old couple. Like, for me, she is the whole reason for the episode. She is amazing. And she's actually played by the actress Anne Doran, who you might recognize as James Dean's mother in Rebel Without a Cause.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, and according to her IMDb bio and on Wikipedia, she has been in over 500 movies and over 1,000 television shows.
That is crazy. It was ridiculous reading through that. It's like, just pick a TV show, and she was in it. She was in everything. She was Eddie Haskell's mom in Leave It to Beaver. I mean, she's in everything.
That's where I know her from, actually, because I watched that when I was a kid.
I know she's definitely on an episode of MASH, too, which there's a big, like, there's a big connection between MASH and Little House. Like, a lot of the actors are on Vice Versa, you know.
They probably have the same agents, and she also was on Highway to Heaven a little bit. Yeah, she was very impressive, just a couple times. But this is a part two thing. She played Mrs. Bradley in The Monster. So, you know, I love this. I love when we find one of these one-off actors or actresses, and we just see, like, this crazy career that they led.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from her acting went from 1922 until 1988.
What was her first movie? I'm just scrolling. Robin
She
Hood.
Was in stuff. Well, that's like her first credited movie, but her dad actually put her in stuff under a fake name as a baby, like in silent movies and stuff.
Oh, I didn't read that. That's cool.
Yeah, he was afraid that his family was going to be like, maybe you shouldn't put your baby in show business. So he like secretly did it under a fake name.
She was born in Amarillo, Texas. Is that, I don't know where that is.
I know the song.
So, goodness. I do like their relationship as well. I think that she's very sweet. They have a certain, what I would say is a more, to today's standards, modern relationship between the two. Like, they don't mind giving themselves a little bit of a, like, when she's like, hits him and says, move over. You know, it's it's kind of a buddy-buddy, but a really great relationship type of attitude that I think, you know, is just really wonderful. So they go
and when a certain person wins a pie contest, he's like, ooh, yeah, she's cute. Like, I want to marry her.
He's ribbing her. And it also lets you know that he gives crap to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, even his own wife.
Right, just at different levels, yeah.
Yeah.
I can beat him, pretty girl. Oh, that said, Lord. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Hey, you know something.
That's getting a little creepy. But, what is he, 58?
56.
Jesus, 56, jeez.
And she's actually 72 in this.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow. What do you think of yourself when you're paired up with somebody who has such an age difference? Oh. You know, for a show, I wonder. I always wonder about those type of things.
That actually is mine and my husband's age difference.
No, is it really?
7 years, yeah, 7.
Wait, how old did you say he is? I mean, she is?
What? She? Oh, this lady. I thought you were talking about my husband. She is 70-something.
Yeah, wait, he's 56. 50. Yeah, 56 and 7.
That is not mine and my husband.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I don't know math. I was thinking she is 8 years older, so she's actually 64. My bad.
Oh, 64. All right.
Anytime I have numbers, you might want to fact check me.
Noted.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm 6 years older than my wife, and it's a little bit of a weird difference, you know, because she just won't get certain things, which is kind of weird, I guess. I remember the 70s, and she was born at the end of it.
Leah, what about you and your husband?
I'm a year older.
Oh, so that's a good balance. You guys get each other's, you know, references.
He doesn't because he hates the 80s. And so, so he doesn't understand my lingo at all.
Well, that's okay because you just came back from an 80s cruise. Where you just surrounded yourself with
me and my sister got to live the 80s for a week straight, and it was amazing.
Fun.
You know, do you have any quick stories you just want to share about that? I don't know. Putting you on the spot.
No, that's okay. So this was the fifth year of this same boat going out, and this one was a difficult one because a lot of people canceled. We had big stars that were supposed to come on board, and everyone canceled because of the virus issue going on.
Stupid Brett Michaels.
Oh, my God, I know. But we got to see Lita Ford, so that was super exciting. And we just got to be with our people. Like, yeah. Every night was a theme night. Something was different. Like, they had punk prom night, and they had, like, idols night, and people dressed. I'll post some pictures on my website, but it's insane, the costumes that people went into for this cruise. Yeah, that's it was awesome. So much fun. The biggest nerd fest ever.
And it was open bar, right?
Yep. Everything is free. Food, drinks. Yes.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. It sounds like you had a great time.
I did.
So, well, back to 1875, where they didn't have cruise ships. It may be a steamboat.
Yeah, that's the Titanic.
They used to go on a little raft in the rapids. That was their idea of a.
Oh my gosh! Right, that was her. That was Caroline's vacation. It was when she went on the raft.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I can't remember that episode.
Yeah.
You said you can't remember that episode.
No, I can't remember what it was called. It was like
I think that was the nephews.
Yes, it was the nephews. I can remember too for a second.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
No, we're in the. I'm going to press play on my favorite personal scene of the entire episode, which is Caroline going into the mercantile. They're setting up. Founders Day is about to begin. It's the best thing that's happened. It's the middle of March. and I'm just going to look up real quick what the temperature is. Even today, it should give us an idea of the temperature there.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun, the contests and races.
I was thinking about your children.
You were?
Mm-hmm. Mary and Laura, it's... Well, I mean... Don't feel too badly. Some children are just better coordinated than others.
What?
Well, yes. I suppose I'm just a doting mother, but.
This look that Caroline gives her at this moment is my favorite Caroline look. It's she just looked so like you're dead. Like I really loved it, and this whole scene is just hilarious to me.
Well, Nellie and Willie are very, very good at sports. I suppose they take after me. I was very athletic when I was a youngster.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure that has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, these things are handed down from generation to generation.
I've heard that. Oh, well, now it's 28 cents. Would you like cash or shall I credit?
Oh, credit, please. Mm-hmm. Yes. Is your mother a good cook?
Oh, my mother was the best. Why?
Oh, I was just wondering. We're both entering the pie baking contest, and I was just wondering what my chances would be of winning.
Well, Mrs. Ingalls, I don't want to discourage you, but my recipe was handed down from generation to generation.
Yes. I know, Mrs. Olson. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And by the way, that sign could be a lot better. I just want to say that. It's who did this thing? Willie? I just like the competition. It's a little friendly-ish, but it's getting more serious as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing, I still think we're seeing sides of these people that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
All at the same time. and maybe that was intentional because of the way this episode kind of pans out. So we have dinner talk. I mean, and of course, Charles went from, gosh, all I hear about is Founders Day to, you know, that's all he wants to talk about in a way.
And for dinner, they're just having pie.
Eating pie, yeah.
I like to call it living the dream.
Right.
Fine meal, Mrs. Engels.
Delicious pie, Ma. Thank you. There is more pie.
Don't you think I've had enough?
We have 16 pies. I can totally picture that, like, in the background where the kitchen should be.
For three men.
Why were you so tired yesterday, Pa?
A little sewing contest with Mr. Tyler. Tomorrow we're going to have another contest with Axis. One of us figures to win. He thinks it's going to be him.
Well, you're going to win, Pa, because you're the best.
That's my girl.
Did you girls ever have pie at the Olsons?
Sure, Ma. 3 or 4 times. Birthday parties.
Well, was there anything special? Something you liked better than the others?
No.
No.
What's this sudden interest in the Olsons' dessert menu?
Well, Mrs. Olson and I are both entering the pie baking contest, and I was just curious about the competition.
You gotta win, Ma.
Yeah. We gotta win everything.
And now, just a minute. Winning isn't everything. The important thing is competing and doing your best.
Your father's right, girls. Winning isn't everything.
All right, so this is where I have to ask. Have you guys ever entered any food into any competition like this?
Kind of. My goal in life is to, like, enter a county fair and have, like, my mason jar and my pie win. But I've entered, like, cake decorating contests, mm-hmm. but it wasn't eating. It was just, like, based on decoration. And I won!
Oh, really? Well, of course you did. Your cakes and designs are incredible.
Why, thank you so much.
Especially the Little House one, the one...
Oh, that was amazing.
Thank you. That was so much fun. I did that for myself for an early birthday present as like, I just made a replica of the Little House out of cake and it took me 19 hours and it weighed 35 pounds. It was crazy.
And I bet you it was better built than the Little House.
I told my husband, right? I was like, I feel like Pa. I was like making wood slabs and putting them up. And
no twigs.
It was fun.
Did you make a wall of twigs?
No twigs on mine. No way.
You could have used like little pretzels or something.
That would be really detailed. I love it.
But so we have the Queens County Fair, which we started going to maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and they have this. You know, it's on a farm, and people don't think of Queens really as having this, but it's like maybe about 30 acres, and they have this. You have the pie contest and vegetables and all this kind of cool stuff, and. And a friend of mine, she's a baker. She loves baking. She's actually a music teacher, but this is like her passion. And she entered her apple pie and it beat the person who had won like 5 times in a row. And the woman came up to them after she had won the cake. I mean, the pie had been tasted maybe 24 hours prior and left out because you're not allowed to like touch it. And you have to come back at a certain time to retrieve your hardware or, you know, your dishware. Mm-hmm. So this woman came up to her husband and said, "Can I taste it?" And he's like, "It's been out for 24 hours. You know? It's like, and the woman who lost asked, and this whole thing was weird. He put down the dish to get another thing because she had entered in another contest and the woman swiped it.
Oh.
And I mean, I'm laughing, but it's a very sad story because the dish that was used was handed down from my friend's grandmother, it was like a family heirloom, and this woman never entered the contest after that. And I was
that's
like,
bummer.
It, but it's crazy. These people are nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. I wanted to enter, I started making pickles. You know, this is, was my thing. And I think I've been very successful in my kosher dill pickles. But then I learned that they don't have a kosher dill pickle section. So, and then I wanted to enter wine. They don't have an alcohol section. I wanted to enter beer. They have no alcohol. All of the stuff I make, I can't enter. So I'm actually wrote a letter last, I think the September. I sent them a letter asking them to put those onto the list for the next fair. Should be in a couple months, but we'll see. Tomorrow I'll be bottling, not tomorrow, Monday I'll be bottling Pinot Noir in my basement. And, you know, so I'll have alcohol for the period of time of while we're shut in.
Oh, so cool.
But these are all things, you know, it is fun and it's competitive, but people are nuts. I guess the story I wanted to tell, that idiot woman had to go and steal. It's just the worst in the world. So, all right. Back to, again, 1875.
Let's see. Back to winning isn't everything, but they each secretly hope to kick some ass.
Right. Exactly. So that night, they're talking, everyone's talking in bed, and we have Charles and Caroline basically confessing a little bit of the way they feel about things.
I really want to win that pie-baking contest.
I can understand that.
You can?
Mm-hmm. Because I really want to win the chopping contest. But don't tell the girls. Good night.
Good night.
You just have to try harder. We see Charles, the next day they're kind of prepping, right? They're getting ready. Yeah. And what is it called that Laura's doing with the wheel? Like just spinning the wheel?
Like a hoof race. Is that, yeah. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah. And, so that's, you know, it's a cute little thing. It's almost like whoever can continue making it go without falling and racing. I think right. That's cute. They're all, she's practicing that. We have Ma with another pie. It's like, we've had enough pie.
And yeah, Charles, and Pa's sharpening an axe.
Very poorly. Like, it's as though he doesn't know how to sharpen an axe. And I'm going to guess that Michael Landon does not. But what you're supposed to do is hold the axe onto the stone, not the stone onto the axe. So. Mm. But it's a TV show, and I'm willing to accept that. and he has two axes. The other axe does come into play a little bit later.
He has his old kind of busted axe, and he's got one from Abner Wilson, who I don't know if you guys recognize that name later on. He actually wins the horse race.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the only time we've ever heard of Abner Wilson ever, and he's mentioned twice in this episode.
I heard that they actually killed him off, but they left it on the cutting room floor.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. Like, we have to kill somebody. Little House. We see a preparation of liniment. We see a lot of, you know, from the Tylers. And we see that his wife is starting, I believe Helen, is starting to get a little bit concerned, right? Not, she has that kind of you're getting older type of look on her face. And now you should take it a little bit easy. So I'm going to go right to the festivities.
Okay.
Right where Hansen starts saying, right over there. And the music is fun. I think it's cute that they have this kind of walking, not orchestra. What would you call this?
Like a band.
Yeah, a band. You called it.
There you go.
You should have put money on that horse. And it's a beautiful horse. It's a huge horse, actually. We don't have any teachers in the background, do we? In this episode, right? There's no Miss Beetle.
Not that I've seen.
I'm just trying to think of the other. We know that Victor French was not in this episode because he's elsewhere.
He's in the episode in the background. Victor French himself is not, but actually right after Abner is declared the winner, he goes, you did all right, Edwards. That's what Pa says.
Oh, okay.
So I think we're supposed to think he's there.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it's only the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. The next event is the rope jumpers for the championship of Hero Township. Right over there! And the ladies who are in the pie contest had best get ready right over there!
Quite an announcement. So yeah, right now in Walnut Grove, Minnesota, it is 38 degrees and raining. So they're not having the greatest. I think it's a mixture of snow as well. So I don't think that it would have been the greatest week for Founders Day. They were certainly having better weather in Simi Valley.
Oh, absolutely. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? Everybody looks really comfortable in this episode. It's almost like this was shot off season.
Yeah, I thought that the kids would have been a lot sweatier with how much rope jumping they were doing. Yeah,
there's a lot of rope jumping.
Willie rope jumps like I've never seen anybody rope jump before. It's apparently just like a time competition, whoever can jump rope the longest, but he's trying to get the most jumps in that time.
It's really funny, actually.
Yeah.
So have either one of you guys jump roped as an adult?
Not as an adult.
I got too much up top to jump rope.
Yeah, so last month was February, Heart Association Month, and my husband decided every day we will jump rope for 10 minutes.
And
it is the hardest thing ever. I was dying. By day 30, I finally had it down. But it is so difficult. So I give props to these kids right now. When I saw them jumping rope, I was like, oh, my God, they make it look so easy. It's not.
Oh, my God. 10 minutes feels like forever jump roping.
I used to do cycling when I was a kid, like 19 or 20, where I would do very, very long cycling excursions, like 12-speed type of speed biking. So. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you would do is some jump roping. And I just remember doing it and getting slapped in the shins with it. And it is the worst feeling of all time.
Oh, that was in pain.
And I remember it hurt so bad that I swore never to touch another jump rope again. And I threw my bike off a cliff. No. I said, give me the ho-hos. I'm not diluting my Gatorade anymore. No. So it was, but yeah, it was one of those things where I agree with you. The getting hit by a rope is just not pleasurable. It's terrible. It's the worst. There's a lot of good music in this. I'm going to play some of it. Yeah, Willie is, he's killing it.
He's
like Rocky. That I would love to see. Like if it actually went to that. So while that's going on, we get to the pie judging. And out of all the people to judge a pie, who's best, right?
Reverend
Alden.
He's not going to lie.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's very close that he might have even been flirting with some of these women. It was he took it very seriously.
Yeah, he did.
Very seriously.
This has been a very difficult decision. I have narrowed it down to three choices.
I mean, how often does a reverend get the attention of just women?
Oh, well, yes.
You know, and he's not a Catholic priest. I keep forgetting. So I always forget about that, that there is that episode where he finally finds someone.
Takes a wife.
Yeah.
Mrs. Grandy's pie is very good. Oh,
do you think made these pies? These are real pies, and they look pretty good. Mm-hmm. They have the lattice work on top. Do you think they had a baker just kind of make them, or like a craft services just like, you know what we should do with all those pies from craft services? It's like, make Dabs eat a bunch.
Mrs. Olson, this is just excellent.
Thank you.
Mrs. Engels, this is superb. Mrs. Grandy, this is heaven.
Thank you.
Your blue ribbon for your magnificent pie.
For that gross pie?
That one did. That would look the worst. What was that? Just boring old pumpkin pie?
That's what it looked like. Maybe it. Sweet potato at best.
Oh, maybe.
I like sweet potato. So I don't like sweet pies. I like it when you pedal it back a little bit. You know, like dial it down, rather. But I guarantee that it was, it couldn't be any of these women. Maybe it could have been Mrs. Tyler. You know, they could have thrown her a ribbon.
Yeah.
But they're good sports, and they clap and they say wonderful, and it's just.
Yeah. Carolyn's just happy that Mrs. Olson didn't win.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I think she's also surprised that she did not win. They continue to jump rope. We get to the children. They're jumping up and up and up. And this is where I think we start seeing a little bit of the darker competition. We start seeing how competitive they really are.
Yeah.
Because, of course, do you guys want to share what happens to Mary?
Yeah, Leah, please.
Oh, yeah. She twists her ankle.
Yeah, she fails.
Yeah, which I wish I would have done that on day one of our competition. Last month.
It was a good move.
I know. I guess I didn't think of it.
Whoa, what happened there, huh? Are you all right?
Keep the doc away from her. we better cut it off right now.
Okay, great.
Before the swelling kills it.
Is it all right?
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
All right. The winner and champion rope jumper of Hero Township, Willie Olson!
Good job, Willie. You put the most effort in.
You did it.
You did. So, this is the scene that we were talking about earlier where the Tylers kind of get together. And they're just kind of enjoying the day and enjoying each other's company for a moment.
And sorry.
No, it's fine.
Sorry. No, they're so cute. They're lining up to get ready for the hoop races. And so Mr. and Mrs. Tyler, like, pick girls to bet on.
Yes, it's awesome.
It's cute.
So cute.
This is such a grand day, and everybody's having so much fun.
How'd you do in the pie contest?
Mrs. Grandy beat me.
What? Who's that? Who?
She's that little old lady down there with a gray bonnet.
Oh, that one. Hey, she's pretty.
Hey. Come on, wouldn't hurt you to come down and watch.
I'm watching from right here, just fine.
Here's a stick in the mud. Move over.
Yep. All right, contestants. Twice around the square.
Now, he's holding, like, a huge gun the whole time. He keeps firing into the air. Thankfully, there were no, low-flying planes at that period of time. But, there's more shooting in this episode. By Doc.
Yeah, he's not a usual one that you see with a gun, but
and a holster.
I have so much to say about this competition with the hoops.
Oh, really?
Well, first, primarily, there seems to be a lot of loosey-goosey rules. I see Nellie and Laura both like traveling, if you will, with the hoop, like just straight picking it up and running.
Oh, really? They also seem to make cuts. You know, they're cutting off the track.
Exactly. Well, interesting that you say that. I also thought Allison Arngrim looked like she was having like a really fun day. I bet it was a fun day on set. But at 27 minutes and 32 seconds. And I implore everybody to watch this. On like my fourth watching, I noticed at 27:32, this, when they're rounding the corner, there's a little girl who kind of runs in their way. And Michael Landon grabs her and pushes her out of the way. And this little girl falls ass over tea kettle, like completely just arms flying, legs flying. So it looks like Michael Landon just completely pushed this little girl to the ground.
I'm just going to play it. It's just going to be the audio, unfortunately. But
it's amazing.
Oh, my God. That is so funny, Kim.
I think I might have missed it. It looks like he just like threw her.
He just throws her and then trips over her. Everybody needs to watch it. I watched it like 15 times yesterday. I just kept rewinding it because it was like the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I love that kind of stuff. Stuff that you would never in a million years see. So we're going to announce the winner here. And I don't know if we already spoiled it, but here we go.
And champion hoop roller of Hero Township, Nellie Olson.
The music. And she's so proud of herself, and she deserves to be.
She won.
Yeah. She but how did she win is the question. And I think Laura has a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey. What's the matter, Hefner?
She bumped my hoop.
Well, I'm sure it was just an accident.
No, it wasn't.
All the same, winning's not the important thing. It's competing, having fun, right?
Right. I'm hungry.
Well, come on, let's get something to eat.
And they have the best picnic of all.
Yeah.
Oh, always. It's fabulous.
But, you know, they are kind of sore losers. Also, I see Mary kind of walking around without a problem, by the way, at the Hoopers. Let's just kind of leave it at that. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. The men's tug of war.
Oh, wait, I skipped it. I'm sorry. I'll finish this thing, and I'm going to go back to the poor losers.
3 minutes. Come on, come on.
Are you going to be in it, Pop?
I don't see why not. Come on, Mother, pack up the things and watch your hero.
The
tug of war.
Are you going to be in it? Oh, no, that's not my kind of thing.
I love that the Olsons brought a table out, and they have a tablecloth, and they have chairs in their little white picket fenced area.
Yeah.
The only thing better would be if they had an awning.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm happy that off. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm happy that you clipped that scene because my favorite quote in the whole episode was, "Come on, Ma, pack up your things and watch your hero."
Yeah, that is a good line.
Charles, you know he wrote that.
You know, I didn't notice it before, but with the table out there, they're all using silverware and glasses.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny, and they have like a bread basket.
They are the fanciest in town.
I would have loved if they made a reference to it or something, or if a ball went flying and knocked it over.
Laura throws her hoop at him.
Right. Something. But yeah, they're all sitting there. It's so funny. All right.
Mr. Ingalls is going to be in it.
It wouldn't hurt you.
Absolutely not.
Now... Don't you want the children to be proud of you?
Yes, dear.
Poor Nell's getting bullied into this. Mm-hmm. The way you were bullied into the jump roping. I'm just kidding.
Wanted to make him proud.
No, I'm just going to go to where I think that they were being kind of sore losers a little bit.
Down on that ankle pretty hard. Is it bothering?
A little. If it had been anybody but Willie, I didn't even know he could jump rope. Well, he's jumping all the time. But I've never seen him use a rope. You'll be able to run in the three-legged race, won't you?
I don't see why not.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I guess it's not that bad, actually. It seemed worse when I watched it the first time. You know. So we're going to... Tug of War is a pretty visual thing. I think it's very funny.
Yeah.
And it looked like... I don't know. You think they really had a tug of war here? I mean, yeah. The outcome was scripted, of course. But I'm wondering... I would just imagine they would have a good time. Caroline is sitting on a wagon and clapping like she's having the best time of her life. and just kind of cracking up. And when was the last time you guys did a tug of war?
Oh, elementary school.
Yeah, sixth grade. Yeah.
Really? In scouting, we're always doing them. Oh, no mud, though. Like, that's too committed.
Yeah.
Who's going to dig the hole?
You have to be willing to end the day, you know, if there's going to be that much mud.
Yeah, exactly.
So here we go. It ends, Nels goes into the mud, and then Charles does a front flip into the mud.
Somehow Nels still wins.
Yeah. Very strange, very strange. And they're laughing and laughing.
We are the ones of the Hero Township to the war! The Olsen team! I won!
The fix is in. That's what we're going to find out. So Mary's like, my ankle hurts so bad I can't do anything. Crunch, crunch, crunch as she eats all the food. And we get to the point where we need to either not compete or we need to find a solution.
Mary. How's the ankle?
She can't run.
She really shouldn't. It's much too swollen.
Just look bad.
The next event, the three-legged race for children and ladies. Starters, hold the line, please.
I really wanted to be in there.
It's a shame it can't be helped, have fun. Of course, he did say children and ladies.
Oh. Ma, you got to.
Oh, I couldn't.
Well, why not? You certainly are a lady.
What's so funny about that?
Well, then I guess I can't.
All right. Get the shoe on. I don't want to miss this.
So I love the fact that they turn this around, right? So Laura, of course, goes running right over to the Olsen suite, like their little, their day lunch.
Mommy, we're going to win the three-legged race.
Mrs. Ingalls can't. Can she?
I don't know why not.
But that's not fair. Mrs. Ingalls is a grown-up. If she can race, you can, and you could win.
I know. Well, no, but I don't think it's proper.
Harriet, don't you want the children to be proud of you?
And, of course, she goes and competes, which turns into one of the funnier visuals of the entire episode.
And speaking of visuals, the biggest scandal to ever hit Walnut Grove at about 34:49, Catherine McGregor hikes her skirt up and flashes bare thigh all the way up to like her underwear.
What?
Line. So you don't see underwear, but it's like to where her hip connects to her leg.
Yeah.
You just see bare leg because she's running and she's kind of hiking up her skirt. But I was like, oh my gosh, Mrs. Olsen.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll whoa!
34:49, you said?
Yep.
I'm going to play it. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is a very observant thing. And she has, like, some kind of thigh-high boots on there.
Yeah, she's got, like, socks up to her knees and shoes on. But I was like, oh, that is some tan skin I see.
Right, that's... One of the things I think is funny is when Mrs. Olsen is being beaten, she does one of these like kind of swipes with her arms.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know. It was just like a last ditch effort of loss.
Like if she caught some of Ma's hair on the way down, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Right. And then Mary in the background seems to be limping okay. I mean, she seems to have run the entire length of the race pretty quickly on the side with Gary. Jeez. Take a little sip of morphine powder and, you know, with a little lemonade, you'll be fine. You'll be winning. They're just upset and mad, which is very funny.
Yeah, and Laura sticks her tongue out rudely at Nellie, and Nellie goes to storm off and takes Harriet with her, and the whole Olsen family is just, like, on the ground.
I mean, but the thing is, they won two contests. Three contests.
So yeah. Like,
well, very, very poor sportsmanship here. Well, from Laura as well.
Yeah, sticking her tongue out.
Yeah. We do get to see this gun close up in the next beginning of race, where Doc has, I did not look up the type of gun, but this is a large revolver. This is not. I'd really like to find out more about the revolver. Revolvers actually cost not so as much as I expected. Did you happen to look at the price of these firearms?
I didn't.
No.
You could buy a gun, like a handheld piece of junk, probably revolver, for the equivalent of 75 cents.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, not the equivalent. I'm sorry. The equivalent of the equivalent of probably about $1. I mean, $8.
Dang.
Because 75 cents back then.
So what you're saying
that would be more. $20.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say a gold watch is about 43 guns.
Well, it's, you know, that is solid gold, though.
That's true.
Actually, doesn't that particular one does not even include the watch. It's just the watch case.
What?
Here. Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, it's in there. Let's see. They have what they refer to as our 68-cent revolver.
Hmm. Not bad.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be so comfortable with that revolver. I don't know. The blacksmith from Sylvia might be the guy who's making it. I'm not really sure. Whoever's casting it, he might be a little distracted. So dark joke. So we're at the chopping. This is where the men are separated from the children. This is dangerous. You know, don't even stand close because the wood chips are flying.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. Doc loves firing a gun. I think, you know, he loves putting animals down. That's the only reason he would have a gun, really, right? That and this. And how come Hansen isn't doing this?
Yeah, that's true. It feels like it is kind of like Hansen's deal. And Hansen is the founder of Walnut Grove, so it does seem like he should be doing it.
Gentlemen, on your mark. Get set.
It's like a cannon. I mean, I'm sure that it did fire something. I'm sure a blank, but it's, and I'm sure that's not the actual audio of the revolver, but I'm just kind of curious. There had to be some talk and somebody had to be goofing around with that gun at some point. I'm going to guess.
Oh yeah. On that set, definitely. And, like, it was loud because there's one point where Melissa Gilbert puts her fingers in her ears and, like, just completely is shocked by the sound that it makes.
Yeah, I mean, even blanks make the same exact sound as a regular, like, a starter pistol. So, it's chop, chop, chop. It's a lot of, yay, chop, chop, chop. Charles basically, and there's different heats. So, I guess, how many men are competing here? Do we know?
Five, I think, maybe six.
So you get like, I guess, the top of the heap there, and they go to the next heat, and then, you know, you whittle down, but Charles loses the first heat, And his ego is crushed a little bit. Let's see. What do you guys have anything you want me to play from that particular thing? It's a lot of chopping.
Yeah, not really.
No, there's a lot of chopping. For Kim, there's no shirtless Charles in this episode, but at 36:24 there is a really nice butt shot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I noticed. I was like, I wonder what the underwear situation was.
I did too.
You're bloomers. Right,
the bunch of perverts we are. Yeah, I guess he had that long underwear. But I know, I remember from Confessions of a Prairie Bitch that Allison said that Michael Landon went commando.
Yeah, he wasn't wearing anything under there. Yeah,
no, I didn't see any visible panty lines.
Oh,
no,
my panty. Well,
if I could bring you guys back to the Me Too movement. So, this is here we go. This is where the announcement of the winner.
Kim Taylor!
Whoops.
Winner of the first team, Kim Taylor!
There you go. I caught the wrong part. So he's very proud of himself, of course. You know, he beat the youngin. He beat the kid. He's talking to his wife, and I think that he deserves to feel this pride.
I told you, old man is still the bull of the woods, and not so old.
Not so old, Jim. Not so old.
Yeah.
You just look it. Wow, he's really 56?
I mean, we learned earlier that I'm not great at math, so we might want to double check that number.
All right, I'm going to double check on the next couple clips. I'm just like, what? All right, so the second heat, spoiler alert, Charles wins.
Yep.
And he's very proud of himself, too. This reminds me of when we were in Cub Scouts and we had the Pinewood Derbies and how kind of boring it was, this person's racing and this person's like, oh, my God, get on with it already. Let's, it's been 3.5 freaking hours. Okay.
So. I got him.
Sure have.
And Charles sounds exhausted here. Maybe they made him run like 3 blocks or something with a cigarette in his mouth. He was a chain smoker.
No, he's tired. You see him breathing after that go around? He looked like a windbroke horse.
I noticed that.
Yeah, no kind of rest going to help that tired.
We're going to win the ribbon and the watch.
You bet I am, half pint. Where's my file? I must have dropped it.
We'll have you look for it, Pat.
No, that's all right. I know where I can find another one. I'll be right back.
So Charles is looking to sharpen up his... He was... 56?
Jeez. Okay.
He didn't live to be that old, though, to be honest with you. So he might have had, either health complications or lived a very tough life. But he passed away in 1986 at the age of 67. So
interesting. Yeah, I read that he kind of had his problems with alcohol and stuff. And, everybody smoked back then. That's just what you did. So it's 56 then is not 56 now.
No. Or maybe it is. Depends on who you are, right? So Charles goes in to look for a sharpening stone and he runs into Mrs. Taylor. And I wanted your opinion of this conversation.
Love it.
I'm going to you loved it?
Flawless.
Oh, okay. But I mean, your opinion of what is being said here.
Yeah, no, I know you're going to play it, but truly made me cry. I thought it was beautiful.
And what about you, Leah? I disagree with this.
I kind of didn't like the guilt trip.
Yeah, I don't like the whole throw the fight for my son, for my husband type of thing. It's
right, because you know what? I think in the long run, Charles would have probably figured out to do it on his own to, let that guy win after all.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't like the life lesson here to let somebody win.
I'm shocked at what I'm hearing right now.
I guess. But nonetheless, I think that I think it's something my wife would do. I think if you care about somebody, these are the things that you would do. I don't think that she's a terrible person for doing this. I just think that it's not very sportsmanlike. You know, I mean, this is a chopping wood. This isn't, you know, this is big.
Well, this is for the championship. Disagree.
All right. But here, I do think it's a very sweet scene, and I think that it really shows the connection between husband and wife, though. Yeah. This, without a doubt.
Mr. Ingalls, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure, you don't mind if I fire while you talk.
Oh, no, you go right ahead. Mr. Ingalls, my husband's tired.
That makes two of us.
No, I mean really tired. Well, he wouldn't admit it, not even to me, but... Well, that never happened all the years he was Bull of the Woods. Ooh, you should have known him then. He could outsaw, outchop, outwork any man. Maybe two men. Never an ache or pain. But that's not true anymore. And he knows it. Every day he feels like he has to prove himself. And every day it gets just a little bit harder. A blue ribbon and a watch. Not to push under somebody's nose. But to have. To touch. To give him back something that the years have taken away from him. That's what he wants. A watch. A watch that tells him he is still Bull of the Woods. Thank you for listening.
I think I would say, well, make sure his axe is sharp. Because I'm going to destroy him.
I'm going to smoke him. Get a stretcher ready.
Yeah. I don't know. How do you think that would have worked with, like, a Mike Tyson fight or something?
I don't know. I know. She's protecting her husband's ego.
I'm kidding.
I'm defending myself for liking it so much, but I don't think for her it was so much like blatantly let him win, but it's kind of like Paul says at the end, like just kind of evening stuff up.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm disillusioned. I don't know.
I remember, and this is, of course, this didn't happen, but for whatever reason, I was expecting a scene that didn't exist. I was expecting a scene where he learns that the wife spoke to Charles and they have to go at it again to prove, and he loses. I don't know why I have this in my head. Maybe it's a combination of another episode of some sort. But I don't know. I kept thinking, like, is this like a Mandela effect? Or I don't know if you guys know anything about like the nonsense of Mandela effects, but I really kind of remembered a different ending for this. So could have been a totally different show for all I know. And I just combined it, but yeah, I really thought like he was going to go, why'd you talk to him, woman? That type of thing. And I can prove myself. And I kept thinking he was going to have a stroke. So it really could be another show that was going to happen.
He looks so winded. Oh, sorry, Leah.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I could deal with another scene of more chopping.
More chopping, part two.
I'm glad it ended here, right?
Founders Day, part two.
Part two.
Chop, 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 chop. All right, more liniment. Shirts off, all skins. All right, so so here we go. We have where we're going to begin, but I'm not going to play the whole thing.
The finalist, Jim Tyler
against Charles Ingalls.
Caroline is cracking up in the audience. Like, she...
Oh, she's having so much fun.
Yeah, like, she's like, somebody gave her a funny cigarette. She's just giggling, and I'm guessing it, like, they just started filming at a point where they just stopped talking about something funny.
All right, gentlemen, on your marks, get set.
There's another firing of the gun. You're right, she jumped. And then it's another 45 minutes of this. Very nice. I don't even think they were really hitting the wood. They were just hitting a bongo. Gunk, gunk. But Charles is going at it. You know, I don't know if he's just hitting... I don't know if he's making any real progress, because we don't see what Michael Landon is actually hitting. Mm-hmm. But he looks, you know, looks pretty serious. Looks pretty serious.
He's definitely given it his all. He's not holding back in the way you would expect him to hold back, knowing the conversation that the wife just had with him.
Now, we learned something about the accent a little bit. So, did we know about this before he started doing this? Is this something that was obvious to us and I missed it?
Not to me.
Yeah, I didn't. I just thought, what a loser.
All right. And champion X-Man of Hero Township, Jim Taylor.
If Crisco all over his face, he's dripping.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the champions, the blue ribbon and watch donated by the Hanson Lumber Company.
It was a good contest. You deserve to win.
Yeah, you did good.
For a farmer.
This is how I feel whenever I have to visit clients and, like, their elevator's out. And I have to go up, like, 10 floors or something. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to keep this client. It's like, you got to move. Or we just use Skype.
Hey. Hey. Congratulations. There is your wife.
So Laura sees something that nobody else seems to notice. Of course, Mary doesn't see it because she's so busy looking at her ankle, and her belly is full. She's probably going to start complaining that she has a stomach ache because she ate too much. And Carrie is just like, I'm the most bored person here. There's no kids for her to play with. It's just really sad. No bad for Carrie.
Aww.
Stuck with Mary for half the time. She won't even let me run. Or she's like slowing up Carrie because she's limping. I'd love to go back and see if Mary changes the limp, you know, like if it goes from one foot to the other. That would be a classic. So Laura has this face of disappointment, which is just kind of like, what's going on here? So, and how many kids know about axes to be able to identify?
His was like a little more silvery and like worn, but I mean, she is at like exactly axe height. So.
Yeah, she's looking right at it. She's like, what? This is not your, this is not the money axe. This isn't from the catalog.
Hey, Pathfinder looks so sad. It was fun. I did my best. It's time to get home. I get the wagon and stuff.
Who packed up the picnic things?
And she's just like, what the hell's going on here? And this is the scene that I thought launched the rest of the episode. But then I looked at it and I'm like, there's only a few minutes left. Where Charles goes up to, is it Helen? I keep forgetting her name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even a verbal thing. He just basically, you know, gives a gesture. I think that's the first time that even the viewer is in on the events that are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Unless people are very, very, staring at this, like they really, really need to know every little thing. You think anybody else noticed the axe?
No.
No,
me either. But here we go. Laura is going to call him out.
Pa? You used the borrowed axe till the end. Then you used your old one.
You know, you're right.
Hi, Pa.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm fine. Mr. Tyler's a good man with an axe. He's a lot older than I am. You know, when you get older, you get tired a lot easier. Just like you winning a race with a big head start. Doesn't mean anything to win if you have a head start.
Sure doesn't.
That's why I switched the axes. Just so it'd be even between me and Mr. Tyler. Can you understand that?
I suppose. Mr. Tyler sure is happy about winning.
No happier than I am about losing.
So this, of course, makes me feel bad about what I said before, but I still believe that it's not right to approach your enemy or the competitor and try to psych him out. We've seen this tactic in movies, and it always backfires. So where it's like, you lost. You're a loser.
Well, I can see that in an alternate world where Charles just goes ahead and just smokes him and wins. And then we see like just how heartbroken Mr. Tyler is. And it's like instant severe depression. And I think Charles would just feel like crap afterwards.
Yeah. Right. He would try to give him the watch and he would like throw it or something. Don't give me that catalog watch. So, and then we have music, which is really nice. She got to learn a lesson, sort of. She's kind of like, I guess. Would have been nice to bring home another ribbon. A watch. Be home on time for once. So here's the music.
Or that they can sell during hard times.
Exactly.
Right? Are we even? Or something that could have been stolen by...
an angry heart.
Yeah. Where he did steal a watch. He could have stolen two watches. Yeah. So here's the music that's always fun. There you go. The end.
Yay.
Another one in the can. I want to say thank you to Walnut Grove and congratulations on another Founders Day /week, which was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they did. I tried to see what they were doing. I think in the current climate, maybe they didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's probably canceled.
But we're doing it here. Virtually.
That's right. We're not quitters here.
I'm actually going to reach out to Amy at the Walnut Grove Museum and see if they did anything and let her know that we're releasing this episode today on the 19th of March. We're going to rush this out, hot off the presses. But Leah and Kim, I really want to thank you guys so much for taking the time to do this. I'm going to be releasing more and more episodes. I have a decent backlog of episodes, so this really is a good time for me to continue releasing so many new and older archived episodes. So you can look forward to a lot of it. I've recorded a number of episodes with both of you, so you'll definitely see some stuff and some new faces that I'm bringing. Megan Parker actually did an episode with me. She lives here on Long Island, and we're now friends through scouting, so... I just thought it would be kind of interesting. And also I did another episode with Ryoka. I'm probably butchering her name. She is a Japanese listener who I did an episode a long time ago. And then I said, you have to talk more. And I can't do the episode alone.
Yeah, she was. I do remember that episode. Yeah.
I think she was really shy.
She was shy. Yeah.
She and I go into a whole thing. I'm not going to say what episode, but we get into the whole. We get into a whole discussion about using the words Asian and Oriental to describe people and why one is good and one is bad, or rather, why one is correct and one is incorrect, and how Walnut Grove. I mean, Little House simply is not PC sometimes by accident, but maybe accurate for the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that they would have called Asian people Oriental back then.
Yeah.
I was thinking for that time or even the 70s. Mm.
Yeah, so. Definitely the 70s. There's no doubt about it. Very Archie Bunker. But guys, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And do you guys have any final thoughts or...
No, just want to thank you guys for inviting me to your party today.
Yeah,
thank you for having me on too. It's always a pleasure, and I love talking with you and Leah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.